Tonight we are ending our missions conference. And I would like to end this missions conference with the story of missions. The story of missions. The story of missions that every church writes within its lifetime. The story of missions that started with the church in Jerusalem, it does not end at the end of the book of Acts. It continues through every local church in the world today. So tonight, we are going to study the book of Acts just in one session. I like that. I like focusing on one book at one time. But I won't keep you till midnight, no. We are going to do it before 7 o'clock. So everything will be fine. But the story of missions that started with the commandment of Jesus Christ to go to the uttermost part of the earth started at that time, started in Jerusalem. But remember the first message I preached in this missions conference? Lesson one in missions have four main aspects. Before Jesus sent his disciples, he took them on a boat ride. He said to them, "Join thyself, come up with me in the boat." So God demanded their involvement, and then after they got involved in the mission, the second thing was facing the challenges. Because when they wanted to do the mission, they have to face the challenges, and they have to overcome the challenges by faith. And then when they overcame the challenges by trusting Jesus, they came to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and then the third thing happened. They experienced the power of Jesus Christ and fruitfulness of them in the mission. And then there was multiplication. Four aspects of missions, Jesus told them to the disciples. And tonight we are going to see how these four things were experienced by the church in Jerusalem and the church in Antioch. And you know the book of Acts can be summarized in one statement. If you have in mind Acts chapter 8 and chapter 1 and verse 8, then you have a summary of the book of Acts. And let us read together Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So if you can memorize this Bible verse, then you have the summary of the book of Acts. Because the first 8 chapters of the book of Acts, it tells us how the gospel was preached in Jerusalem. And then from chapter 8 till chapter 12, how the gospel went into Samaria and Judea. And from chapter 13 till chapter 28, how the gospel was sent out to the uttermost part of the known world at that time. So it's very easy. So it's all summarized in Acts 1:8. So you can divide the book of Acts into 3 sections. How the gospel was sent to preach in Jerusalem, how it was preached in Judea, Samaria, and how it went to the uttermost part of the earth. But also the book of Acts can be divided in another way. And some people, they say the Acts, the preaching of Peter, the first 12 chapters, and then the preaching of Paul, and the second 13 till the verse till chapter 28. But tonight I'm going to see through this division, because I believe this is what the Holy Spirit revealed to us, 3 divisions into the book of Acts. Through that, we see the first 12 chapters, the impact of the church in Jerusalem on world missions. And this continued to the end of the book of Acts, because the church in Antioch is a result of the church of ministry in Jerusalem. But the Lord and the Holy Spirit especially spoke about the ministry of the church in Antioch from chapter 13 and on. So tonight I would like to see with you how these four things that Jesus taught about missions were in the life of the church in Jerusalem, and how they also were experienced in the life of the church in Antioch, and what's the reflection on our ministries in these days. So first of all, when we look to the church in Jerusalem, we know that from the day of Pentecost, the church in Jerusalem was started, and at that time, they started to be involved in the Great Commission. The first message that Peter preached, it was the gospel message. And then through the book of Acts, we read about John and Peter and the disciples going out to preach the gospel. The church in Jerusalem, they were involved in that mission. We read about the disciples staying in Jerusalem after the persecution. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, it says to us that those who did not stay in Jerusalem, which means they are not the disciples, it's other believers, on their way, they were preaching the gospel. And we realized that missions was not just the task of the disciples, it was the task of every Christian at that time. The church in Jerusalem was able to preach the gospel and train people to preach the gospel, and everyone believed in being involved in the Great Commission. But being involved was not the only thing they experienced. They experienced the second thing, which is challenges. So what Jesus taught his disciples about challenges, now it's time for them to experience it. And we read about the church in Jerusalem experiencing some challenges. And one of the main challenges they experienced was persecution. We read about persecution. Peter went to the temple, and then he was with John, and they were caught, and they wanted to judge them for preaching the gospel. They were beaten for preaching the gospel. And then the church has to pray for power. Lord, there is a great persecution and we need your power. And the Lord gave them this power. So they had the challenge of persecution. But persecution will never hinder us from doing the mission. Although persecution is huge, it's big, it's hard, it's tough. We have had our persecution in Lebanon. We were beaten. It was very hard. Brother Haitham was shot and paralyzed. It was very hard. But these things should never stop us, because we should remember it's by faith, by trusting the Lord, He will enable us to overcome the challenges and fulfill the mission. So persecution was one of the challenges. Another challenge was sin in the church. And this is another challenge that the church of Jerusalem have to deal with. When Ananias and Sapphira, they were lying to the Holy Ghost. And they brought some of the money and they pretended that they are bringing all the money. God didn't care for their money, but He cared for their lie. He cared for holiness, what we spoke about this morning. And there need to be church discipline. It was a tough situation for two of the church members to be brought in front of Paul, Peter, and the other disciples. And then they continue in their lie, and one after the other instantly died, and they were rebuked. Because Jesus was showing us and every generation that He is so serious. And although we don't see people dying in our churches because of our sin, and thank the Lord we are still alive because we are not better than others. We can't judge other people. And sometimes we are not better than Ananias and Sapphira. But you know, remember in the church age, the first when God was laying the foundations, everything was being established in a serious way. God was dealing in a very visual way. God allowed this discipline to be public because this is how it should be. We should be afraid when we sin against God. We should have reverence to God. We should not take sin lightly. So the church in Jerusalem had this punishment, and there was a great fear in that place. And everybody was terrified. We are in the New Testament. Why is this happening? Because even in the New Testament, God is so serious about sin, and sin in the church will hinder the mission of the church. This is why sometimes in our churches, we have to deal with hard things in the ministry. There are hard things in the ministry, tough things in the ministry. And sometimes they discourage us. And Satan wants to use these things to prevent us from looking to the mission field, looking to what God wants us to do. But we should always remember that when this thing happens in our churches, we should remember Jesus is still with us. By faith, we have to trust Him and obey Him. We have to do what is right, no matter what the cost is. And after that, He will shower the blessings. And after the church disciplined these two people, there many multitude of people got saved, including a lot of priests and other people as well. So sin sometimes, and this church discipline, is part of the challenges that we may face. These were not the only two challenges There were other challenges, like the problem of the widows in Acts chapter 6, where there was a church growth, and the disciples, they couldn't handle the ministry alone. They needed someone else to help them. And there were the Greek widows and the Hebrew widows, and they were not getting the same type of interest, and there was people who were not happy inside the church. Here we find a group of widows. They were not served properly, and they were causing division. You are Jews, we are Greeks, why is this happening? And there was a great challenge for the unity of the church. So they had to have their first deacons, which their main responsibility is to help the church keep focusing on what God wants and help the church and the pastor to keep unity and vision and biblical interests. So they brought the deacons, and it was solved by seeking the will of God in the local church. And the deacons came, they were servants of the Lord. They went and they helped the widows. They tried to reconcile families. They maintained and helped in the unity of the church. And then when the church was united, they can do now more for the Lord. There is no stronger than a united church. And of course, the Lord do it, and the Lord use people to do that. The pastors alone cannot do that. He needs strong men and women, families who understand the will of God for the church, and they will do whatever needs to be done so that the church maintains unity and vision. Unity and vision. And so this was a challenge that they have to deal with for some time. And also in the church in Jerusalem, there were some financial challenges. We read in the morning about the famine that was going on, and there were some financial challenges. But the Lord provided for these challenges. Believers in other parts of the world, they helped them in their challenges. So there were challenges that according to the First Testament church, they were big enough to hinder them from fulfilling the Great Commission. But because they believed in Jesus Christ and his power, and they trusted the Lord to lead their church, and they submitted to him, there was great work done, and they were able to overcome the challenges. And then fruitfulness came. The third thing happened. There was fruitfulness, and as they went and preached the gospel, people got saved. And we see about the growth in number and in faith throughout the chapters of the book of Acts. The church grew in number and in faith in chapter 2. And then they brought the gospel to the Jews. And then in Acts chapter 10, the first church in Jerusalem, they brought the gospel through the ministry of Peter to the Gentiles. So as Jesus said to Peter, "I give you the keys of the kingdom," he was able to open the kingdom of God to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And the prophecy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 18, in chapter 16, it was fulfilled. And Peter did, God used him. And the message of the gospel reached out to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria. Then they started the church in Antioch in Acts 11 and 12. Then through that, the church spread the word around, and there was multiplication, the fourth aspect. Now the church in Antioch started to send missionaries and started planting churches. So the four things that the disciples learned in that ship, on that trip, they experienced in the church in Jerusalem. Now in Acts chapter 13 till chapter 28, we read about that another church, another local church, and this local church is the church in Antioch. This church was started by believers who came from Jerusalem, because this is the will of God, that churches start churches. Churches send missionaries. Missionaries start churches. The churches that are started, they send missionaries. And by their authority, they start churches. And this is the story of missions all around the world. So now we have a new church, a baby church, and now this church is becoming an example for world missions, as we saw in the morning. This church, in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, they decided to get involved. They took a decision to jump in that boat. This is why involvement in missions is a decision that a local church must do. God will never force you. He will never force you to be involved in missions. God will never, no one can force you as a person or as a church to be involved in missions. If it does not come out of your heart, no one can do it. No matter how missions conferences we do, how many sermons we hear, no matter who are the speakers you listen to, no matter what, if it doesn't come out of your heart, it has no value, it will never happen. It is something that starts in your heart. And when it starts in your heart as a believer, it will start in your heart as a church. So this church in Antioch, they decided now, they decided to get involved. And this is one of the reasons we have missions conferences, to encourage one another. To encourage one another, because many times we are so stuck with the things of life. There are a lot of things we are doing that will distract us from being involved in the Great Commission. And it's not only you, even me in the mission field. Many times I'd be so involved in something I'm doing, sometimes I need to be reminded. Pastors need to be reminded. Church members need to be reminded we have a greater cause. We have a lot of things to do. We should not be stuck just in temporary things. And this church decided we have to do something. So they did a prayer meeting. They fasted and prayed. And the Lord led them during that time. And they started to be involved in world missions. But then as they got involved in world missions in Acts chapter 13, challenges started to happen in the church in Antioch. And we read about persecution started from the first missionary journey. When Saul and Barnabas went to Cyprus, and they went to Cyprus because it was the hometown of Barnabas. He went to his hometown. He wanted to witness to his country. So they sailed to Cyprus. And as they witnessed in Cyprus, there was persecution on them. And they faced challenges. And maybe they could have asked the question, Lord, we have obeyed you. We are on our first part of our mission trip. You should make it easy on us from the first day so that we can do more. But, you know, persecution is part of the Christian life and it is part of world missions. Why? Because missions is fighting the devil, the enemy, on the front line. And when you are fighting on the front line, those who are on the front line, they will feel more the heat of the battle. Those who are on the back, they won't hear anything. When your troops are fighting in Afghanistan, here in the States, you feel nothing. But those soldiers on the front line, they will feel more threats, more challenges. They see things you don't see here because they are on the front line. And their families who are in the States here, because they are connected with them, they will feel it more than Americans who don't have soldiers on the front line. When a church decides to be involved in missions, you are fighting the devil on the front line. You are coming so close to hell and you are taking people out of hell. When the Bible said the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church, he was not talking about the gates attacking the church. He was talking about the church attacking the gates. It's not the gates will jump on us and they will not be able to conquer us. It is we will attack the gates of hell in missions, and those who were supposed to be in hell because they are born lost, because we preach to them and we sacrifice and we send missionaries and we are ready to pay a great price of sacrifice, we are taking them out of the fire, as the book of Judas says. We take them out of death, save them out of hell, out of the fire. So this is what missions is all about. So there were challenges in the church. And maybe Paul and Barnabas could have said, oh, missions is very hard. So they went back. No, they didn't do that. Although we know that John Mark did come back. It was on the first missionary journey. He was a young guy. And as he saw the struggles in the ministry and challenges, he said, I want to go back. So he couldn't stand it because missions is on the front line. And there is persecution, and it's very hard when we have persecution. So we see that church in Antioch, they experienced persecution. There are challenges, but they were able to overcome the challenges because they trusted God. They trusted the Lord. And another challenge that the church in Antioch have is doctrinal challenges. And we read in chapter 15 of the book of Acts, there was this serious doctrinal error that was entering into the church when teachers from Jerusalem came to Antioch, and because these were Gentiles and they were Jews, they were preaching a gospel which was a little bit twisted. They were asking people to become Jews, then become Christians. They wanted, they had two ways for salvation. In order for a Gentile to be saved, he has to become a Jew first, circumcise, accept the Old Testament and some of the beliefs of the Old Testament, and then after that, he would become a Christian. And this was a serious issue that could have divided the church into two churches with different beliefs at that time. And this was a serious challenge, so that Paul and Barnabas, they postponed their second mission trip so that they can go up to Jerusalem to fix this matter. We thank the Lord that they went up to Jerusalem in Acts 15 and they discussed the theological matter. And because all of them, they were submissive to God and His Word and the work of the Holy Spirit, it was resolved. But that was a serious issue. These guys, they prayed hard. They were worried what's going to happen. But these things, they face us today with a lot of doctrinal challenges from Christianity in the States and all around the world. You face cults, we face cults. We face, sometimes born-again Christians, but they are compromisers. And sometimes they become our first critics. And it's very hard, this is very tough. These are something we have to deal with. Sometimes we discuss theological issues with others and it is solved. But sometimes we discuss it and it's not resolved. But the church has to continue doing the mission. We can't stop on that. Sometimes we have to separate from some groups. And sometimes we have to pray and seek more discussions and theological discussions so that we can help others. The Lord will lead us, but quitting is not the answer. We have to focus on the Great Commission. So they were able to focus on the Great Commission, overcome this challenge. And then there was another challenge in the book of Acts in the church in Antioch, when there was also, it's not like a fight, but misunderstanding between Paul and Barnabas. And here we have two servants of the Lord. They went on their first missionary journey. Barnabas had this humble character that he trained Paul, and Paul, he loved the Lord, but it came a point in their life where they feel that they have this agreement if they are going to take John Mark with them or not. Paul was saying we can't take him because he quit on the first time. He was not strong enough to handle missionary life, so I will not take him with me again. And Barnabas felt we should give him another chance. Now, who was wrong, who was right, we can't judge that. But because God used that to have two different teams, and Barnabas was able to take John Mark and train him, and he wrote the gospel that we have. And Paul took another man, Silas, and they became another team. And God worked it out, but it was not easy in the church that time, because wherever there are people, there are different opinions. And sometimes good people disagree. And when this happens, it hurts the church sometimes, it hurts people sometimes. But we have to pray, we seek God's leadership, focus on the mission. So this was a great challenge, but it did not hinder the mission. They were able to trust God, ask the Lord for wisdom, and they continued doing the mission. What about financial challenges? Also, Paul, in his ministry, he faced financial challenges. And sometimes churches supported him. And sometimes he had to work in his own hands. But there were financial challenges. And in the last chapters of the book of Acts, we know that also the churches, they sent another gift to the church in Jerusalem because of financial challenges. What about health issues? Have you ever asked why Luke was with Paul most of the time? It is because Paul needed Luke most of the time. Because we read in the Bible in the first missionary journey, when Paul went to Turkey, when he went to Lystra and Derbe in the first missionary journey, from that day, the Bible reveals to us that Paul, he had health issues. He had weaknesses. He needed a doctor to stay close to him, beside him. So what Luke did is not that Luke, as a doctor, he had some free time, he wanted to go on a mission trip as medical doctor. Luke was there because Paul needed someone to take care of him at some times. And Luke found a great opportunity to serve the Lord, to minister, to be part of the missions team, but also to take care of Paul as he ministers to the Lord. What about challenges in our health issues? We love the Lord. Many of us, I don't know about you, but 20 years ago, I started to have backaches. That was, to many people, very young. All of us, we face health challenges. And a lot of people who serve the Lord, sometimes they have health issues. And this is a big challenge. You say, I want to do more for the Lord, but my body is very weak. But then God comes to you and says, it's not by your strength, remember? It's not by your power, your strength. I will enable you. Whatever I have given you, Lord will say, use it. What you cannot do, I will be there to help you do it. So Paul trusted the Lord, and he continued doing that. And after overcoming the challenges, there was a great fruitfulness. And every time we overcome challenges, we see results. Every time you take a step of faith and you trust God for a challenge in your life, and you do not allow that challenge to stop you from doing God's will, you will always reap the results. You will see God's hand in fruits in your ministry and in your life. So people got saved by the power of the gospel in Asia. And then in Europe, on the first missionary journey, Turkey. And then on the second missionary journey, he went to Europe. And hundreds or tens of churches were started, recorded as started. And this was fruit of fruitfulness. And then multiplication. Then there was multiplication. The churches that Paul started, these churches become missionary sending churches. And do you remember from where Paul picked up Timothy? From one of the churches in Turkey on the first missionary journey. On the second missionary journey, he passed by the church. He saw that young man. His mom has taught him about the love of God and missions. His grandmother taught him about missions. And the church testified about him, about his life, and he joined the team. And that church in Turkey became sending church. And then we should never forget how God wrote through the Holy Spirit the letters to the church in Thessalonica and Philippi, how they became sending churches. And then Paul came back to Turkey, and he started or helped in the church in Ephesus, and he was there for 3 years sending missionaries. And we know at least about the 7 churches of Asia Minor who were started because of the ministry of Paul in Ephesus. And then Paul, we read about him going back to Jerusalem. So there was multiplication. And as the church in Jerusalem wrote their story about missions, now the church in Antioch wrote their story about missions. But the interesting thing about the book of Acts is the ending of the book of Acts. Have you ever read the ending of the book of Acts carefully? I would like you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 28 just to read the last verse. Because there is a very important Bible teaching in this Bible verse, in the last word. Of last words of this Bible verse, the Bible says about Paul when he was in Rome, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. No man forbidding him. Now, if you read other letters in the New Testament, you know that every letter will end with have an ending. It has a conclusion. Even the book of Revelation, it's not a letter. It's not. It is some sort of a letter, but it has an ending. The Gospels have an ending. All the prophets' book in the Old Testament, they have a way to end. The book of Acts doesn't have an ending. It doesn't have a conclusion. The book of Acts is still open. Look how it ends. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. No forbidden for the preaching of the gospel. No one can stop the preaching of the gospel. The book of Acts does not end, not because the Holy Spirit did something wrong, not because they say, some theologians say, Luke was planning to write a third volume, but he couldn't do that. So this is why he ended like this. No. It is intentionally by the Holy Spirit, because the story of mission never ends. Because the story of missions continues with every local church. And as the book of Acts chapter 1 till 12 focus on the story of missions in the life of the church in Jerusalem. And as the Acts chapter 13 till 28 speaks about the story of missions in the life of the church of Antioch, every local church have a place to write their own story of missions. And it is a time, it will become a time when we go up to heaven, every local church will have a story to tell, like this story. Every local church has this story to tell. In our ministry, we started our first church, we decided to get involved in missions, and I remember we were 4 or 5 people in the church, and I said to them, we have to start thinking about supporting a missionary. And we started by $50 a month supporting a missionary who was working in Jordan. We started to be involved in world missions and evangelism. And the Lord blessed us. The church grew. And then we started Arab World Baptist Mission. And then we had a lot of challenges. Persecution, challenges. Sometimes we have doctrinal errors, few times, because most of our church members are discipled in our church. We don't have a lot of diversity of beliefs. We only have the Catholics and the Baptists, so it's easy. But sometimes we have to discipline people who sin in the church. We have sometimes challenges. Sometimes we keep people in our home for months, and then they go out to speak against me and my wife. It happens in every pastor's family. It happens. These are challenges. We have a family who, they come from a Muslim background, and they were from outside of Lebanon, not from Lebanon. So we treated them as our own children. They got married. Even when the lady would go to the hospital, my wife would go with her. They were with us for more than 2 years. Then something happened. And some other pastor in another church started to, because they are from Muslim background, started to offer them like money and fame. I want to take you and put you on a TV and link you with this ministry and that ministry. And we used to say to them, no, these are not following the Bible. They don't believe what we believe. We became their enemies. So it hurt us sometimes, but we have to deal with these things. Now, they are good Christians. We pray for them. But these are challenges that should not allow us to stop what we are doing. And as we overcame the challenges, we always see fruitfulness. And now we are seeing multiplication. This is our story that continues. And one day we will say it in heaven. But I want to encourage you that you, as a local church in Scarborough, Maine, you are writing your own story. You are writing your story in the missions conference, and in your life, you are getting involved. And as you get involved, you should expect challenges. Satan wants to hinder you from being involved. He wants to discourage you. And this will never end. It will never stop. It comes in different versions, different ways. But as problems come by, challenges come by, trusting God and by faith, you solve each problem separately. Don't mix all the problems together and make them a big mountain that cannot be resolved as you solve every challenge with the spirit of prayer and unity and love and focusing on the Word of God. God will continue to use you and fruitfulness will happen here and abroad. And then multiplication. And Scarborough, in the Corner Baptist Church in Scarborough, Maine, will be writing their own story. And one time, when we go up to heaven, different believers, different local churches, we will sit together and we will say, tell me, how did you? What was your story of missions? Do you think in your mind, what are you going to do in heaven? One of the things we are going to do in heaven is to share together how we lived for the Lord in this world. We have things to tell. This is why it's very important, brothers and sisters, it's very important to realize that through missions, you are writing an eternal story that will never end. There are souls that will be going to be in heaven because of that story. And as you unite and you sacrifice in your local church, it is not just a human task. You are writing an eternal story. You are writing a story of missions. And if you are writing a story that will last forever, we have to be careful how to write it. So as we come to the end of our missions conference, I want to encourage you. You are in missions, you are not doing a simple, earthly, human task. You are doing the most important task in the world. It is the only task that will last forever. When we die, we will not take our cars, our auditoriums, our clothes, our businesses with us. There's one thing that we are going to take with us to heaven: the souls that we have helped lead to Christ. And all this will be summarized on how serious we were in the Great Commission and how we united together as a local church and fulfilled the Great Commission. Thank you so much for being part of the Great Commission and for supporting our family. Through our family and ministry, you are being fruitful and you are multiplying. So keep doing it, and may the Lord bless you. We'll be praying for you in Lebanon. We want you to pray for us always. We always need your prayers and this wonderful partnership that we have in the gospel. Let us bow our heads in prayer.
Let's pray together, please. Our Father, how again we thank you so much for the goodness that you have bestowed upon us, that tonight we can come and be reminded of the story of missions and the work that we have been called to do. Lord, I pray that the lessons that we have learned this week would not soon be forgotten, but Lord, instead that we would take these things and meditate upon them, give ourselves wholly to them, that our profiting may appear unto all. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us in every way as a church to seek to overcome all the challenges that will be faced because we decide to be involved in the work of missions, both here and abroad. And, Lord, we'll thank you for it. So we ask and pray your blessing upon our time. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to set some time aside, the time that we could focus our thoughts in these ways. And we thank you, Father, for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.